tracking Asian carp by what they leave behind. This is the Environment Report. I'm Mark Brush, in for Rebecca Williams. You've heard it by now. There's a lot of time, money, and effort being spent to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes. To keep them out, we first have to know where they are. Biologists often go out and sample water near the Great Lakes to look for carp. They test the water for genetic material. But the presence of carp DNA does not mean an actual fish was swimming in that area. It could have come from somewhere else, like a bird that eats fish. Researchers are looking for better ways to track real, live, actual carp. Rebecca Williams recently sat down with Mark Gakowski. He's a biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, and he's studying how fish poop might help. Here's their conversation.
So you're studying microbes in the digestive systems of fish, and I understand that these communities of microbes are unique so that you can tell one species of fish from another. How do you envision using this method to look for the presence of Asian carp?
Well, one of the things that we think that we can do with this information is to try to have another corroborating piece of evidence. So if we go out, for example, and collect a water sample and we detect the presence of the DNA of silver carp or bakehead carp in that water sample, and we also find the presence of the bacteria that are associated with their digestive tracts, now we have two pieces of evidence that kind of link together that say, yes, there's a live fish present, or, well, there's Asian carp DNA present, but there's none of the bacteria that's associated with that fish present in that water sample. It's a way for us to kind of validate why there's Asian carp DNA present in that water sample.
Now, to do this kind of work, you have to study fish poop, right?
Well, yeah, you take out the digestive tract in a very careful manner so as you don't contaminate samples from one fish to another fish, and you collect the internal scrapings of that fish's digestive tract.
So what's going to happen next, and how long do you think it would take to start using something like this in the field?
One of the challenges that we run into is, you know, we want to be very careful about applying a new technique. We don't want to apply something before it's actually ready to go and have some pretty substantial decisions be made upon that technique. We may go out and we find that this works really, really well. And we may find that there are some complicating factors that we have to contend with.
Mark Gajkowski is a supervisory biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is the Environment Report. With the chill in the air right now, you might guess that most hummingbirds would have ditched Michigan for a more tropical place. The ruby-throated hummingbird is the bird you're most likely to see in Michigan, and for the most part, it's flown south. But Alan Chartier still wants you to keep an eye on your backyard feeder. He studies hummingbirds, and he's the project director for Great Lakes Hummernet.
The chances that what you're looking at is a ruby throat is about 50-50 because there are western species that start showing up.
He says you might also get a chance to see a rufous hummingbird.
I kind of think of these little birds as, you know, each one has certain superpowers. And the ruby throat's superpower is that it's the smallest bird that can fly across the Gulf of Mexico nonstop. Now, the rufous hummingbird's superpower is it's very cold tolerant. So there are many of these birds that have stayed around in Michigan and Ohio until January, and then they move on.
The males are a reddish-brown color with a glowing orange throat and a white breast. But the females look a lot like ruby throats. So Chartier says it's a great idea to take a photo and send it to him so he can identify the bird and use your bird sighting in his research. You can find out how to do that on our website, michiganradio.org. And that's the Environment Report. I'm Mark Brush.